Anyway, very warm welcome to you. And if some of you have been with us over the last month or so, you'll know that we've been kind of dipping in and out of the book of Nehemiah. And today we're going to look at Nehemiah 5 on page 470. And we're going to look at some of the leadership qualities of Nehemiah. So it's Nehemiah 5, beginning at verse 14 on page 470. If you've got that, you can read along with me. Nehemiah 5, verse 14. Moreover, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, until his 32nd year, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allotted to the governor. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. Their assistants also lorded it over the people. But out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. Instead, I devoted myself to the work on this wall. All my men were assembled there for the work. We did not acquire any land. Furthermore, 150 Jews and officials ate at my table, as well as those who had come to us from surrounding nations. Each day, one ox, six choice sheep, and some poultry were prepared for me, and every 10 days, an abundant supply of wine of all kinds. In spite of all this, I never demanded the food allotted to the governor, because the demands were heavy on these people. I mentioned that we've been kind of dipping in and out of Nehemiah, so if you're all familiar with who he was and what the story is, then forgive me. But just as a sort of a brief reminder, we're back now in the 5th century, okay? And Nehemiah was an official in the to the king of Persia. And this had come at the end of about 70 years of Babylonian exile. And some of the Jews had returned to Judah. And we enter the story here now where Nehemiah has heard that some of the Jews that have returned are in pretty dire straits, and more particularly that Jerusalem, the city, the temple, and most particularly the walls were in a real state of disrepair. So at this point, Nehemiah has asked the king, could I have a leave of absence to go and to help rebuild Jerusalem, specifically the wall at Jerusalem, okay? And much of this book really serves as a model for what an excellent leader Nehemiah was, an excellent leader in terms of the people, because we see that he does a terrific amount of organizational planning and thinking through it, and how am I going to make this come to life. And he faces opposition, but he shows an awful lot of courage in that and being really clever in knowing how to address that. He's also an incredibly prayerful man, and he solves an awful lot of problems that come his way. Now, some of you may know, some of you that know me a bit better than others may know that I'm the chairman of a Christian charity called the Stewards Trust. And among other things, we run an awful lot of Christian holidays and teaching events for young people and for families and indeed people of all ages. And back in September, I had had a conversation with a young couple who had agreed to step up to take over the leadership of one of our really big summer events that's attended by hundreds of people. And as it happened, when they called me to talk about this new task, as it happened, I was reading Nehemiah. And that probably doesn't sound unusual, because I'm sure most of you are reading Nehemiah most weeks, aren't you? But what struck me about it was I was thinking, there was a verse in that, as I had read, that had really resonated with me. And when Jeremy asked me to do the talk today, and I hadn't quite remembered chapter 5, I said, you know, that was that verse. And particularly, it's in verse 16 where Nehemiah says, I did not act like that. He says, I didn't lord it over people. I didn't treat them like, if I can use the expression very popular, I didn't treat them like minions. I didn't just simply enjoy all the benefits and privileges that come with being the leader. No, I didn't act like that. He says, instead, you know what? I rolled up my sleeves. I felt the sun and the heat and the sweat on my back, and I worked on the wall alongside all of my men. And there can be no doubt, if you look at the book of Nehemiah, that he was in charge of the entire project, okay? But he also got stuck in. And it was when I was talking to this couple, I was saying, you know what? You ought to look at the book of Nehemiah, because what's quite wonderful about it is that I see so much of what you're doing is reflected in how Nehemiah led. That is, you have a strategy, you have a vision, you galvanize people, but critically, you also lead by getting alongside the people. You don't just sort of organize it, then stand back and take all the glory for it. You're actually so committed to getting really stuck in with everyone who's going to be on that event. Now, I want you to think about some of the bosses you've had. Who is the best boss that you've ever had? I don't know if it's your current boss. I don't know if it's a boss from years ago. But what were their qualities? What made them the best boss you've ever had? And when I ask you to think of great leaders, whenever, at any time, I don't know who you think of. Well, in anticipation of this, I Googled it, right? And I put in great world leaders. And you can do it when you get back to your office or at home. And unsurprisingly, perhaps, you get names like Alexander the Great. Yeah? You get names like Churchill and Mandela. And you also get names like Bonaparte and even Hitler. And maybe that's not surprising, but you know what I found really surprising is in none of the lists was the name Jesus Christ. I said, you know, isn't that odd? That when you take over, you know, the course of history, the great leaders of the world, that none of them articulate Jesus Christ as a great leader. And I think that anyone who's really looked into his life, if you've really looked into his life, his leadership and his profound influence, I don't think there's ever been a greater leader that walked the earth. And I also don't think that there's a better model for leadership than the model that Jesus gave us. I mean, I'm sure that Bonaparte and even Hitler had their attributes, but come on. I mean, are we comparing them to Jesus Christ in terms of models of leadership? And Nehemiah shows us a lot of what it means to be a Christ-like leader. I've just made a list of things here, his qualities. Like Jesus, he was a man of constant prayer. Like Jesus, Nehemiah had a sense of purpose and a real commitment to serve God first before anything else. Like Jesus, he was prepared to take risks because he trusted God. And Nehemiah knew that any power that he had, it really rested with God. And it reminds me, guys, from John chapter 19. Do you remember when Jesus is with Pilate and Pilate says to him, don't you know that I have the power to either free you or crucify you? And Jesus turns to Pilate and he says, the only power that you have, the power that you have over me is only because that power has been granted to you from above. And I think Christ-like leaders know that their power isn't based in them, it's based in what God has granted them. And God is the one who's in charge. And in verse 16 again, Nehemiah says, out of reverence for God, I did not act like that. He models, as Christ does, servant leadership. And you think about Jesus's servant leadership, it didn't diminish his authority, did it? Not at all. In fact, that kind of leadership, I would argue, changed the world forever. Other great leaders may have made their mark, but they have not altered the course of the world. And can I just finish with one final thought? Because as I was thinking about today and talking about leadership and all this, it's all well and good, but I suspect, I could be wrong, but it's possible that some of you are here today saying, James, that's really fascinating, but I'm not really a leader. I'm not in a position of control. So this is quite interesting, but what does it have to do with me? Well, can I just, if that's you, can I just ask you to consider a couple of points? The first is that the position may mean that someone's the boss, but that doesn't make them a good leader, does it? It might be the boss, but are they really leaders? Being a good leader, as we've seen from Christ's example, isn't about the position. It's about your character and your attitude. And let me just ask you to think about this. I would argue that actually leadership is about influence. It's not about control. You can control people, but are you influencing them? And I found this fascinating statistic that sociologists suggest that even the most introverted person influences, wait for it, 10,000 people in an average lifetime. Think about it. And I kind of did the numbers, you know, in an average life in, say, 70 years or whatever, and the number of days, and that isn't impossible. And we influence people that are, if I can use the expression, below us, but we also influence people that are around us. And don't underestimate the fact that we influence people above us. So if you don't think you're a leader, you are, because you are an influencer of people. And as people of faith and as followers of Christ, people will be influenced by you.